Planning a Disney World vacation is more complicated than it's ever been. For us, being as busy as we are between the podcast and the kids and everything else we have going on, it's been a lifesaver having Zip Travel to be able to rely on. And they are the travel agency that we use personally, and we recommend to all our listeners that they should use as well. So when it comes to booking your vacation, your hotel, your tickets, dining reservations, that they have gotten us numerous ones at places like Oga's and Topolino's and California Grill, all the hard to get ones, they have come through, and they've been a great asset and just make our lives 10 times easier. Plus, it has saved us money and just stress. Not only do we use Zip all the time personally ourselves, we actually have a dedicated team of Zip travel agents that work directly with Capture the Magic listeners. So you will either get Lauren or Kendall, and they are both fantastic, and we use them all the time to plan our trips again. So if you head to travelwithzip.com, and there's a quick form there, you can fill out whatever details you know about your trip, put them in that form, and either Lauren or Kendall will get in touch with you, and they will basically help you plan a great trip. And again, this costs nothing to you. This is completely free. And also, if you book at least a 3-night package through that link, we will throw in some goodies as well. So we give you a free t-shirt. You will get $10 in shop credit, and Zip will leave a gift for you at your hotel. So it's kind of a no-brainer situation. You save money, doesn't cost you anything, and makes your life 10 times easier. So again, go to travelwithzip.com and use the travel agency that we use and we recommend everybody. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Jared Lee, and I'm joined, as usual, by my lovely wife, Jamie Lee. So, Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jared. How are you?
I'm good. I think I'm somewhat rested from Memorial Day weekend.
Well, what do you mean? It was such a chill weekend.
Anytime you go to theme parks over... Did you snort?
I snorted a little bit. Oh, wow. Sorry.
Okay. anytime you decide to go to theme parks over a holiday weekend is it's a choice.
It's a choice.
Yeah, especially when you go with a 2- and 5-year-old, a choice.
And then a group of ended up being like 13.
At times, yeah. So it was a lot going on sometimes, a little bit, but you know, we had a good time. We went to Universal for a little bit, hung out there, and then we went over to Disney, and we did get to ride, which we will talk about in the show. We got to ride Guardians.
Finally,
on opening day. Yes. So for those that are, you know, maybe new to the show, we had AP previews for Guardians, but we couldn't make it because my grandfather's funeral. And so we're like, well, we'll see how it goes. But we'll tell the whole story. But we did get to ride Guardians after a little bit of drama, as tends to go sometimes. I should have known that was going to happen.
Sure.
I was wondering for a bit. I'm like, maybe I'm not ever supposed to ride this ride.
That's what I felt like, too. I was like, the universe is working against us.
You're like, no, Jared. You are not supposed to ride this ride. But we got to do that. And then, we got back on Memorial Day. And which I'm glad we didn't go to the parks because they were nothing but slammed, as you might imagine, on a holiday.
Slammed.
And we swam. So we basically got back and then went straight to the pool in the neighborhood. And our daughter swam and went down the slide and all that stuff like that. So
yeah.
So it was a nice Memorial Day.
It was a good day. It was a good day.
Yeah. So, but other than going and somewhat what we'll talk about, I mean, we did stay at Portofino Bay.
Which we'll talk about on the next Universal episode.
Yes. Well, it'll be a re-review because Jamie gave Portofino Bay a second chance.
I did. I gave it a second chance.
Did it change?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
We did stay at a new hotel, not a Disney hotel. We stayed at Residence Inn over at Flamingo Crossing, which we will talk about on probably the next episode.
Probably, yeah.
Give a review on that. But just a small spoiler alert. I enjoyed it. It was nice. As is with most of the hotels in that area. Yeah. So we will give an in-depth review of that hotel on the next one. But we did watch Kenobi, but we won't.
We did. The first two episodes so far.
We won't talk. We don't really get into like doing actual, you know, movie or show reviews on here. All I will say is thus far, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, I will leave my judgment until the show is over, and then I will hopefully sing its praises. But we shall see. But
okay.
So today on the show we have some news, and then like I said, we were going to talk about our basically the entire segment is going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Ride. We were there opening day. Our thoughts on the ride, all that, you know, how it works, all that stuff like that. We won't give any spoilers because I really don't know what we could spoil. You know, we'll talk about it. But it's like we're not gonna do like a ride by or like a turn by turn thing or anything like that. So I suppose if you just want to go into it completely in the dark, I mean, before we start talking about aspects of the ride, we'll give you a spoiler warning.
I mean, if you wanted to see exactly what the ride is about, you can go to YouTube and look at a POV that someone else has filmed.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't really know how much we could spoil on this version, because I really think the only way you'd get spoiled on anything would be seeing something like a POV ride footage of it. So,
yeah.
But we will give a disclaimer just in case. We don't want anybody getting mad at us or anything. But yeah, we will talk about Guardians and all that. So I guess we can go ahead and get into the news.
Okay.
So the first one we have is the new food options that are coming to Hollywood Studios.
Yes. Hollywood Studios is getting some new food menu items at places like Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater and over at the 50s Primetime Cafe. So just a couple of things to note. So Sci-Fi is getting some Sci-Fi smoked wings. Yum. Spinach and artichoke dip. There's black garlic Caesar salad, grilled chicken citrus salad, and then a feature film burger, Surf and Turf, and also pork on pork burger, which sounds interesting. That's basically a grilled house-made pork patty topped with roasted pork belly, cheese, onions, cabbage slaw, and a house-made Carolina mustard sauce. Would you eat that? A pork patty and topped with
I don't know why belly. You would just, I would have a hamburger patty with that, all that rest of it on there. I don't think a pork patty sounds that
it's
good.
It's a grilled house-made pork patty. It's like sausage. No, not
see,
sausage,
I would just request it as a burger. Personally, I don't, it could be good. I just, to me, it sounds like I've had a burger in a similar fashion with, like, you know, ground beef. That's pretty good.
There's also the Red Planet, which is a white chocolate cheesecake dessert, and Out of This World Sci-Fi Swirl. Over at 50s Primetime, you can find a jalapeno popper deviled eggs. Oh my gosh, that sounds disgusting.
What is it? Jalapeno
popper? Jalapeno popper deviled eggs.
I mean, I love deviled
eggs. All those four words are just bleh to me. Oof.
Deviled eggs are good, but I don't know about jalapenos in there, was it?
No. Creamy tomato soup. Oh, you like tomato soup, Jared. what?
You said that so high-pitched.
Well, I get excited for you. Grandpa Jean's chicken pot pie. Yum. That's coming back. Pineapple upside-down cake. Lemon meringue pie. Grasshopper bar. It's a dessert with mint, white chocolate mousse, white chocolate chips, yada yada. And then there's a stained glass dessert, which sounds cool. It's a whipped pineapple fluff. Interesting.
I mean, whipped?
Whipped. They're also at Hollywood Scoops, you can find a key lime milkshake. It's a key lime vanilla cream shake topped with lemon lime donut, garnished with a sweet graham cracker crumb. So I think I might try this next time we go, because I do like key lime flavored things.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing with having like a cake or a muffin or a donut on top of a shake is just super interesting to me. It's like the shake isn't enough. Let's put more sugar and more starch on top of that. Well, like to make it just an all-around big dessert.
I feel like Toothsome over at Universal Toothsome started this.
Well, the Beaches and Cream, they do something similar.
I don't know if they did it before or after Toothsome.
I don't remember.
I could be right. I feel like Toothsome is the one that started this whole trend. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a lot. Which, by the way, was on the Universal show. We did eat at Toothsome's.
Yes.
But I can't say it was enjoyable. But we'll talk about it on the Universal show. But in case you're curious, we will talk about it in a future episode. But
there's one more thing I want to talk about with Hollywood Studios. And I have been wanting to try this for Jared for like ever.
Wait, you want to try it for me?
No, no. I want you to be able to try it. I wanted this for you.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland, they had a cold brew drink that I've just been seeing all over the place that people just love it. It's like the best coffee drink ever, yada, yada. Well, at Hollywood Studios, starting, I think it was yesterday, at Cat Sack's Kettle, you can get a cold brew black calf, which is cold brew with Joffrey's cold brew, sweet cream cheese, and cocoa puffs.
It's probably good.
Although it's apparently very good.
Jamie tells me I'm a cold brew snob.
He's a little bit of a cold brew snob.
I have made my own for years.
For years.
I know what makes it.
I know, but like you're very particular about your cold brews.
But I do like the foam, the ones that are like the sweet cream foam, which I'm sure this is what is part of this is, so I will definitely try. It looks good.
Yes.
I think you can get alcoholic too, can't you?
You can. They can add some Godiva liqueur to it, which sounds really good. Now, they don't do this in Disneyland. So this would be just exclusive to Hollywood Studios, the alcohol part.
Oh.
They don't, you remember? They don't serve alcohol.
Oh, that's right.
Disneyland, yeah.
Disney World likes to party.
Like certain places, yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I'm excited for you to try that next time we go to HS. That's Hollywood Studios.
It is on my list.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
There's ongoing series I think is going to be going on, which is I decided to do to trek around and finally figure out what the best burger is.
Okay.
Which I've had a few of them.
You should do like best coffee too.
That's what I was going to say. And the other one would be the best coffee. The only thing about that is there's really not that much selection in terms of Disney.
How dare you?
You've got Joffrey's and Starbucks. Wow. Which I do like Joffrey's more than Starbucks. But
okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll definitely try this one. Or maybe different variations of different things. But anyways, yeah, okay. I'll definitely give that a try. But it looks good.
Well, anyway, there is some options for some new foods coming. So there you go.
Yes. All right. The next story we have is that there are a lot of ways at Disney right now to celebrating Pride Month, which is during June. So you got Magic Mobile Pass Designs, Magic Shots. There's a rainbow on the purple wall. Mm-hmm. And as you might assume from Disney, lots of merchandise.
Lots of merchandise. Lots. It'll be going on through till the end of the month. And I mean, they do Pride Month stuff, I think, every year now. It used to be just like Pride Day. I think back in mid-2000s, late-2000s, they were just did a day or like a weekend, but like it's expanded to like a full month. So if you're interested in all that merchandise, you can find it this month, and Magic Shots and PhotoPass and all of that stuff. So, and you can also get some merchandise in Disney Springs from a lot of the other stores that are not Disney owned that are doing it as well. So there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Next store we have is the new Disney store on International Drive, opened on Tuesday.
Yeah, so this is a cool store for a couple of reasons. So basically, you can buy tickets here. Like, you can buy park tickets here. So I don't know if this means they have, like, a guest relations kind of deal thing, too, or not. But, so anyway, there is a first ever Disney Vacation Club virtual discovery station.
Well, it's actually called Walt Disney Store, right? Walt Disney World Store.
Yes.
So, I mean,
it's called the Walt Disney World Store. Yes, but they have a bunch of merchandise, obviously. But you can buy tickets. They've got a DVC part as well in the Hollywood Plaza Garage on International Drive. So it's on the first floor of the parking garage, basically.
It looks like the outside looks interesting. Right? It's just a parking garage and here's a Disney store.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's other stores like around that first floor of the garage, but yeah. So the store and the DVC walk-in room tour accompany a dynamic art display, which is a billboard. It looks like a ribbon around the parking garage. It is visible from I-4. You can look around the store. There's ticket sales, virtual tour of Riviera, and merchandise offerings. But they have like 50th anniversary merch.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, they've been closing a lot of the Disney stores, at least around us. Like, there was one in Town Center in Jacksonville that did not reopen.
Right.
You know, and like, I feel like they cut down a lot of the Disney stores around, but maybe they're just going for these more like smaller.
I mean, they're definitely not very big. It's not very big.
It's not very big. It's pretty small. But yeah, and like the DVD virtual tour, it looks like you like step into a room, and all around you is screens, and you can, it's like you're standing in the Riviera room. Can you see that?
Yeah, no,
that looks really cool.
I saw the story. I mean, it doesn't. It looks odd in the photo. Maybe in person, though, it looks a little bit more realistic.
Probably.
Yeah, so,
So, and that is on International Drive. So, there you go.
If you want to go away to Disney, you just go to International Drive. And there you go.
Be like, I don't want to go to Disney World, but I'll go to this store.
Yeah, there you go. All right. The next store we have, for anybody that was hoping that Disney World would be, you know, selling annual passes soon, I don't really know what this. This probably isn't good news for you in that Disneyland has now discontinued Magic Key sales, which is their version of APs over there in Disneyland.
Yes. So they had discontinued selling the top two tiers of Magic Keys, but they still had availability for the lower ones. That has stopped, and they didn't say why, but they did say that there is a new California resident ticket that was going to be available starting yesterday. And basically it's a 3-day one park ticket starting at $249, and it goes up from there. But they are offering that. And I believe the reason is not that I know for sure, but park reservations for annual pass holders are basically almost completely full for the summer. So even if you bought a new AP right now, you wouldn't be able to use it until like September.
Right.
So they're going, well, okay, we're not going to sell any more APs, but we can sell regular tickets to at least our residents, and they can take advantage of going to the park. Even if they're not getting an annual pass, we can give them a regular ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's why they did that this time, but I don't know. I haven't seen Disney World hit like high capacity except for a couple of days, especially like around holidays. So why annual passes for Disney World are still not going on is a little bit of a
Disney World's
mystery.
A baffling one because they have capacity far more capacity than Disneyland does.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. It seems they've yet to give a reason for it. Other than I don't know. Part of me thinks they're trying to create a demand for it. So then when they do come open, they sell a bunch of them perhaps because people, like you create FOMO. I don't really know, but it's a marketing tactic that they could use if that's what they're, or maybe they just, I don't know, who knows, but we'll see if Disney World's annual passes come back online anytime this year. At this point, I don't know.
I really don't know. They were literally on sale for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then they shut it and they took them away.
Unless that's going to be their model going forward, which is only offering to sell APs for like 2 months out of the year. I mean, it could be some new method they're doing that they're just not yet really saying. But
well, I wonder like when they say, okay, we're releasing, we're going to open up sales of annual passes again, there's going to be a mad dash.
Right. And that's why it makes me think that they're maybe trying to create this a little, urgency works.
We personally know people that are just still like, ugh, I have to buy another like 3, 4, 5 day ticket instead of being able to use an AP that I can't buy.
Or it could be that because they think they can just make more money.
That also.
By just having tickets and not APs.
That
so
also.
It could be that as well. So.
Yep.
But yeah. So, well, if you're out in California and Disneyland, that's, I guess if you want an AP, then.
Sorry.
Can't really do it right now.
They may resume them again, after the summer. We'll see.
Yeah. So. And the last news story we have is the Disney Plus Day is going to be September 8th of this year.
Yeah, and if you remember last year, Disney Plus Day was November, I think it was November 12th last year. It was like in the middle of November. And they did, they had some, PhotoPass stuff. They had some extra stuff that was released to Disney Plus, like special shows or movies and stuff. And it'll be cool to see what they have this year.
Yes.
But why September 8th? Like, why move it there?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was not consulted this year.
Oh, dang it. Why didn't they consult you?
I don't know. I must have lost my email. So. All right. Well, that's all the news stories we have. But Jamie does have a poll time.
Poll time. So I asked the members of Capture the Magic Community Facebook group, what is your experience with Disney Vacation Club? And here are the results. So 51% said, I know what DVC is. I know what Disney Vacation Club is, but I've never owned or rented and want to learn more. So about half. Mm-hmm. 21% said, I rent points either from owners or through a third-party rental company. 20% said, I am a current owner. 4% said, I am not interested in DVC. And the last 4% said, either I used to be an owner or I don't know what DVC is. So, there looks like way more people than I thought know what it is but have just never used it.
Yeah.
Which surprises me because I feel like I don't know, maybe it's just not as widely known of a thing unless you're just like in like super duper in the Disney bubble, you know, because we've been renting points for 7 years now.
Well, I'm not too surprised at that because to rent points or get into it, there's a big knowledge gap you have to tackle. Mm-hmm. You look around a lot, there's horror stories of people renting points from people that have, yeah, it's gone bad. You know, and then there was a whole issue during when COVID happened, everything shut down. There were people that had rented points through even those many reputable third-party sellers that were just up a creek.
Yeah, that was bad.
You know, there's just a lot of it. So I think there's a lot of weariness around it. Because, again, it's an area where it's technically not guaranteed. Something could happen versus if you book with Disney and, you know, you need to cancel or other things. And not to mention when you rent points, you have to pay everything up front. For the most part, unless you work something out with an owner that you know specifically, typically.
Yeah, usually you have to pay up front. There's a lot of people that offer like payment plans.
Right. They can, but it's usually typically more upfront. Because with Disney, mm-hmm, let's say you're going on a 7-night trip, you can just pay for that first night. And that puts your room, that's basically your down payment.
Or a vacation package and it's only $200.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, DVC, if you're renting points, requires a bit more upfront capital. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and also, you know, we have a lot of people that are owners or have multiple contracts and just rave about it. And, you know, that's the only place they ever want to vacation and it works out well for them. You know, you can use your points and put it into RCI or the, whatever that thing is called, where you can like book other trips through. That's not Disney. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You can use them for like Disney cruises, Adventures by Disney, even though like it's not a good idea to do that. But anyway, there's a lot more that goes into it. But I'm super interested in DVC and I like renting. And so I was just kind of curious where everyone else was at. So, thank you everybody for participating in the poll this week. I will have a new question next week.
Yes, and if you want to be a part of the next poll time, you can join the Capture Magic Facebook group. So obviously just go to Facebook first. Mm-hmm. That'd be the first place to
Facebook.
Go. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find the group at Capture the Magic Community. And there's also a Discord as well, if you'd rather do that. But yeah, go and check it out. Well, before we get to our Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind review and talk about opening day of it and everything like that, I just want to mention some of the shirts we have at Capture the Magic Apparel. So we actually have a brand new shirt that we are releasing that I've been working on for like over a month now and finally got it finalized. And I would have released it about a month ago, but I suppose this works since we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy today. It is actually a Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind themed shirt. And it says, you can see, if you go check it out, cteamshirts.com, you can see, but it says, please be kind. It says, be kind and Cosmic Rewind. And it has Baby Groot trying to rewind a cassette tape that he has unraveled all over himself because he is in this a baby. So it's something I've been working on. I don't know. That was a cool take. It's kind of a retro thing. So it's supposed to look kind of 80s because I think Guardians is like 70s, 80s theme, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an 80s themed shirt. But yeah, I've been working on it. I love how it turned out. And yeah. We print all the shirts we have. First off, all the shirts are printed in-house. So we print them and then we ship them out to you directly. And we print on Next Level Apparel shirts, very soft, comfortable shirts, and they're like a poly cotton blend. So if you're going to, you know, Disney or Universal in the summer, they breathe a bit. They're not super heavy, and they last mini washes.
Mini washes.
They'll last you plenty of time. Yep. So you can go to cteamshirts.com and see all the designs and shirts there. And if you got any questions, you can always message us if you're in the Facebook group, or you can send us an email at hello@ctm.show as well. So go and check them out, cteamshirts.com. So all right, well, let's talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. So for those that don't know, this is the newest ride that has opened up at Epcot, and it's been under construction for a couple of years now.
17 years? Yeah, something like that?
Yeah, about 20 years.
No.
And just opened on Memorial Day. Oh, no, was it on Memorial Day?
No, it was the day. It was May
20. Sorry. Yeah, we went home on Memorial Day. Sorry. Memorial Day weekend. Excuse me.
May 27th.
Yeah, yeah. My brain's not working. Yeah. So it's the first Marvel ride at Disney World.
Yeah. And before we talk about the ride and all of that, how are they able to do that? Contract-wise with Universal? Just real brief. Like, is it has something to do with the kind of characters?
So, if you look, there's a wall. So for those that don't know, there's Universal Studios has Superhero Island, which has Marvel characters there. And so Disney owns Marvel, but back in the 90s, Marvel was struggling and they sold off a lot of various rights to different companies. That's why when the X-Men movies first came out, it was 20th Century Fox. Because Marvel sold some character rights to 20th Century Fox, some to Sony, which is how Sony has Spider-Man because they got it in the 90s.
Right.
So different studios got those. Well, one of the things they did was the theme park rights they sold to Universal Studios. That was everything east of the Mississippi, I believe, which is why Universal Studios has it. So Disney, when they bought Marvel, couldn't use Marvel stuff in Disney World. Now, you'll do notice they have a Avengers campus out in Disneyland because that is west of the Mississippi. So they've tried different iterations. Years ago, they did like a Doctor Strange meet and greet at Disney World for like a day, and then that got shot down. I think probably Universal Legal hit them up. So there's a wall inside of Islands of Adventure or Universal that has all the characters there that I believe are the ones that Universal has the rights to.
Okay.
That Disney does not. So Guardians, it all hinges around the Avengers. So the Guardians were never really big part of in the comics of the Avengers and especially the original cartoons, because Guardians was a very relatively unknown comic until the Guardians movie came out and it was a big hit. And they kind of made it into, it wasn't a very, like I said, it wasn't a mainstream comic.
Right.
So that's the reason why Disney World can do Guardian stuff, is because it doesn't fall into the purview of the whole thing with Universal Studios.
There's because a lot, they're like secondary characters that weren't popular, weren't really very well known.
It's just that it doesn't fall into the ones that Universal has rights to. I believe a lot of it hinges around the X-Men and the Avengers, but either way, Guardians wasn't a part of that deal. So there's a lot more that goes into that. That contract is very convoluted, and I can't sit here and tell you I know 100% of it. I've read it a few times, and I understand a decent amount of it, but all you have to know is Guardians doesn't fall under the stuff with Universal. So this is why Disney World can't do a Spider-Man ride, because there's one in Universal. They can't do a lot of things because Universal has those rights still. So until Universal either does something to violate that contract, or they sell the rights to Disney, which I think eventually they probably will, Disney can't do anything with certain characters. Even though they have the rights to make the movies with them, they can't do them in the parks. So
got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for clearing that up.
It's such a weird, complicated contract. Like, I was like, she's going to ask about this.
Sorry.
No. It's good to know, because there's a lot of people that wonder, but that's why. So
yeah, it's in Epcot. Yay.
Well, and you'll wonder, there was rumors for a while that Disney World was going to do a Wakanda sort of area, but it couldn't actually have Black Panther in it. It would be like Wakanda, as in like the country or nation, but not actually
Black Panther.
So there's a lot of like weird little workarounds they could potentially do, but that's kind of why that it's all to do with that contract. So
interesting. Yes. Well, the ride is opened.
It is. So in terms of opening day coverage, I mean it's a virtual queue as it stands now.
I guess we should talk about that.
Yeah. So as it's opening, as we knew going in, and it's a virtual queue, which if you don't know what that is, do you want to explain what the virtual queue process is for those who
don't
know?
Sure. So in lieu of actually having a standby queue, Disney opted to do a virtual queue. So every morning at 7 a.m. and at 1 p.m., they will do a drop. So they release all of the boarding group slots for that day at 7 a.m. or at least a portion at 7 a.m. for that day. You have to have a park pass or park reservation for Epcot to be able to do this. But right at 7 a.m., you choose, I guess you confirm your party beforehand, go in, click it, and you get a boarding group if you're on it right at 7. Anyway, it'll get you a boarding group, and whenever your boarding group is called, usually, you know, it's within a couple hours, if not like right when park opens, depending on when your boarding group is, you go to the ride, you scan in, and, you know, it takes you through it. The 1 p.m. drop, you have to be in the park. 7 a.m., you don't have to be in the park. So that's kind of nice. You don't have to, you know, I guess if the park's not open at 7 a.m., that wouldn't make sense anyway.
That would be correct.
Yeah, but 1 p.m., you do have to be in the park. And when we did it, let's see, we tried to get the 7 a.m. virtual queue boarding group drop on the first day, and we did not get it.
I mean, it was instantaneous, which I will say, I understand why Disney does a virtual queue, but I hate starting your day off with that virtual queue, because either starts off with you've got an adrenaline dump of either we got it or, oh, we didn't get it.
Exactly.
And then your next chance is at the 1 p.m.
Yeah.
drop, which you have to be in the park for that.
Yes.
So if you don't get the 7 a.m., you really have to plan your day around going and potentially being disappointed again.
And this is exactly what they did with Rise of the Resistance when it opened up for a while. And they did that with Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. And so we didn't get the 7 a.m. drop, but we barely made it into the park before 1 p.m. And we were able to get the 1 p.m. drop of a boarding group. So we did get a boarding group for the opening day. It was very stressful, but we got one.
Yeah, we had to have guest services help us a little bit because
Jared wasn't on it at first, yeah, and it was just a big thing. But those guest services, like the blue tent, guest experiences tent, they're very helpful. So if you ever have any problems with your virtual queue, with Genie Plus, you know, whatever, they're the people to go to.
Yeah.
They will help you out. Yeah. So there's also a third drop for virtual queue for the boarding groups on certain days. And that day is when there is extended evening hours. And extended evening hours are on for Epcot are on Mondays right now. And so the first one was this past Monday was the first extended evening hours. And we actually have some friends right now that are at Disney that got to do it. And they were end up getting a boarding group, and they were gone within like a second, 2 seconds, like very quickly. And that drop occurs at 6 p.m. You did not have to have a boarding group, or I'm sorry, you don't have to have a park reservation, and you do not have to be in the park. So if you're a DVC or deluxe resort guest, you plan on going, see if you can get a boarding group.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
And it's going to be busy for, I mean, it's a new ride, and it's the same thing, pretty similar to Rise of the Resistance. I mean, this could be this way for a couple of years in terms of which, you know, I could see that being Guardians is a pretty popular, you know, IP or what do you want to call it, movie franchise. Mm-hmm. So at least for the first 6 months, it's going to be really busy. And I'm sure demand on that will, you know, come down a little bit, because eventually this will be standby, because this, after going through this, it has plenty of room inside for standby line. It's not like this is a situation where they don't have the room, which was a rumor with Remy's at the time, that Remy's really couldn't handle a giant queue because, you know, it was coming out of COVID and everything was so close and just wasn't huge. But Remy started out as virtual queue, and it's already out of virtual queue.
Exactly.
So it's something, it may stay virtual queue for the time being because it may just shift to the newest ride. But we don't really know, but that's how it is right now. So
yeah, Remy's is also part of a Genie Plus now. There's no more individual Lightning Lane for Remy's because it has moved onto Guardians of the Galaxy. So each park only has one individual Lightning Lane option.
Yeah.
And Guardians took over that for Epcot. And this weekend, starting Friday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then I'm not sure if it was Monday or not. It was $17 per person for an individual Lightning Lane. And those went very quickly, as expected. And it has gone down to $14 a person now. So it's not quite as expensive as it was this weekend, but, you know, it's less than Rise of the Resistance by a dollar.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But it is an option. So you theoretically you can do two. You can do a Lightning Lane for that, a individual Light Lane, and you can also get a virtual queue boarding group.
Yes.
You could ride it twice in the same day if you're savvy enough to do that. So
yeah. So before we talk about the, I guess we'll give a spoiler alert just in case anybody doesn't want to be spoiled at all. 'Cause we will talk about some of the queue portions and stuff like that. So we'll give one, but, just speaking in terms of the ride area and such like that, there's really not a lot on the outside. You've got the ship there, but there's really nothing else out there. I mean, they've got some, they had some photo pass photographers out there would take your picture in front of there. But in terms of outside of getting onto the ride, there's not much out here. The gift shop is actually right now over at Creations.
They did open it. They did open it. Okay. They did open it on Saturday.
Well, I know they were worried about it the opening day because they said it was it's not a huge gift shop. So.
It's not that big. Yeah, it's pretty small.
Well, I suppose you could go in then and you could go into the gift shop without you could probably go in that side door to the right and go in the gift shop if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know if they're diverting people into it to leave or not. I don't know.
People could walk into that door and it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We'll see. But in terms of, that's why people were asking about coverage on, some of people were asking coverage on the opening day. That there wasn't much to cover. I mean, people just were waiting outside basically for their time to their boarding group basically. Yeah. So
there's lots of seating around the ship because, you know, of the, because it's like leveled, you know?
Yeah.
So you can sit and chill. But the pavilion is now renamed Wonders of Xandar Pavilion. It used to be the Universe of Energy. Now it's Wonders of Xandar. Now if you go through the virtual queue from the time you enter the line till you get to the first pre-show? Is it 30 minutes? Is that what they approximated?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that? Okay. So that's about as long as it takes with all the boarding groups and everything. If you're doing Lightning Lane, unless there's like some backup or whatever. Like I went through the Lightning Lane because I was a rider swap. I did not get to see a lot of the queue that you got to see.
Right.
It took me less than 5 minutes to get all the way to the pre-show.
So it's probably quite a bit quicker.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Lightning Lane, the entrance, you see the beginning part of the queue.
Hold on, before we do that, I guess this will be spoilers at this point. So this, going forward, there will be some spoilers here. So if you don't want to hear anything about this, we'll talk about the pre-show and some of the ride aspects here. So I guess I just want to give a warning there for people that don't want any spoilers. Here's your warning.
Okay.
We'll talk about some
stuff.
I'm
not really going to say any spoilers.
I'm just saying just in case we get into it from this point forward.
So the first room you go into, you do see that. But then you go into a hallway that's just gray walls.
Yeah.
For most of it. You see a few little things, but it's mostly just gray walls. I'm like, this is interesting. But there are two pre-show rooms. Is that right? Two? Or are there three?
There's two.
There's two. And then you go through those, and then you go down into the ride, and
it kind of like it's taking you through. It's supposed to be like almost like a museum of Xandar.
So does it teach you about?
Yeah, and it's supposed to like show you almost like a welcoming center. So it takes you how they do energy and talks about the ship,
Galaxarium. That's what they're calling it, like that one room.
Yeah, so it's like takes you in there. I mean, it's cool looking. It's got a lot of cool visuals. It got some cool lighting. It's kind of like a purple lighting area in there.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it's just sort of, it's sort of like on Flight of Passage where you walk by and you see a lot of that stuff in the offices and things like that. You're walking by a lot of displays of things. So it's very similar to that. There's no giant floating avatar or anything.
Dang
but.
It.
So yeah, you go out of that room and then they take you into, which eventually you just go into this, I guess you would just call it like the first chamber or pre-room. So it's just basically it's just a normal, there's not much in here. It's just a kind of a purple colored room.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let you in some other doors. So nothing really happens in here. I think in here there is a screen that pops up above the doors and they have a little pre-show thing. Very momentarily.
Brief. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you go into a secondary room that then takes where you have, that's where Terry Crews pops up. And he's like the person that's assigned to the Earth people to show them about things. So in this room is where there's a, is it a tele? teleports you.
Yeah. Anyways, we won't tell you anything more about
that. Anyways, it does that. And of course, there's an issue that pops up. And then Rocket says they have to hardwire something. And there's some things that happen. And you're thrust into the action because then you're on a transport that's supposed to be taken. You know, Terry Crews wants to take you back to safety, and Rocket and the Guardians want to thrust you into the action to help them. So that's what you go do. So then after that, that takes you into then another line queue area to get into to get onto the ride vehicles.
Which the loading area is pretty cool.
It's all themed really well.
I do like the theming. It's very space, 80s in space.
Yes, I will say that. Sense. It's very 80s space, yeah. And then the base at that point is when you get on. They have two sides running. So it's kind of like Big Thunder Mountain where you've got left and right you can go down. And that's where they'll tell you which way to go. And then you board and that's where you get on. So So the pre-show boarding group, I mean, there's quite a bit of pre-show.
I would say like 15 minutes.
Potentially, kind of like Pandora. So Disney's definitely gotten to this thing of the pre-shows, which, I mean, it gets you into the story. So, you know.
Is it considered part of the line?
See, this is the debate we had. I think you're still in line to me, but that's just my opinion, though, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I think at that point you just get on the ride. So I guess we can talk about the ride itself at this point.
Again, not going to give too many spoilers. Just because I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, and so I will say this is the first ride I've ever ridden. Going into it, I didn't watch anything. Yeah. Normally I'm very much kind of a control freak. Like before I rode Hagrid's, I watched a lot of POVs. And I knew what to expect. I like knowing, and our daughter is like exactly the same way as me. She likes to know what's going to happen. So with this one, like all I knew is I'd heard it was a family roller coaster, and so for the first time, me and my daughter rode it, and so. I was like, okay, so we get on it, and it does, and this one is not a hidden secret or anything. It has a reverse launch in this. So once it climbs up, you go up, and then you get thrust into the story. There's a lot of screens in here, but your vehicle moves. So if you've ever ridden Gringotts over at Universal Studios, it's sort of like that, but sort of like that on steroids. Is the way I would say that because Gringotts stops and turns and does a lot of screens. This one, you don't ever stop. You're moving the whole time.
Right.
So it does have that aspect, but your ride vehicle is moving very smoothly in between stuff.
Yes.
I knew at that point, it's a little bit more intense than I thought it was going to be. Like once you get up a little bit, and then I could tell really quickly our daughter was getting a little freaked out. So that I went into dad mode and I was trying to calm her down. So I wouldn't really be able to spoil a whole lot here because I was paying attention to the ride, obviously, because I was on it, but I was spending a lot of time trying to, you know, I was holding her hand and trying to tell her, hey, here's what's coming up, and tell her it's going to be okay, because she was getting a little scared. But I will say, you know, the story that plays out, it's a long coaster.
Yeah, 3 minutes. 3 minutes and 20 seconds.
Like which is kind of a bad case when you have a kid that's scared on a ride. Most of the time, you're like, "Oh, it'll be over in a couple of seconds." Like you're on this thing for a couple of minutes. But it is very smooth. I will say that
very smooth,
very very smooth, not jerky at all. Were you gonna say something?
I was just gonna describe how I think it is. It is like Space Mountain 2.0.
That's the best way to describe it.
It is what if Space Mountain had opened this year, this is what it would be.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Like it's just a huge upgrade. It's in the dark. It's like a lot of stars. The music.
So a big aspect of this is the music that plays. So you've got six songs?
Got six songs that are randomized within the ride. So you're gonna get one of six on your ride. Jared doesn't remember which one he had.
I'm pretty sure it was Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Okay, that's the one I had, and I thought it was perfect. It was a perfect song.
Wait, I'm sorry. I was One Way or Another.
One Way or Another by Blondie? Another. Okay.
Well, like I told you, I was so much into trying to make sure our daughter was okay. I wasn't super – I need to ride this again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was our song.
I mean, I love 80s music, so, like, I was, like, singing along the whole time. Like, I was having a lot of fun because, again, the music is really – it's a big factor in how much I liked it. Should we go ahead? What were you saying?
What were you going to say?
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I rode this before you.
Yes. So,
you know, this has a lot of corkscrews. It has a lot of your ride vehicle turning as you're also going through a turn.
Yeah.
So I will say, in terms of one reason I wrote this first was, if you're prone to motion sickness, this ride, which Jamie is, there were aspects of this ride. I don't get motion sick myself at all. But there were parts where I was in this and I remember thinking, man, if I got motion sick, this would have done it. Like, I could feel it in my head where it would be. And it's got, there's one part where you're corkscrewing around the moon. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty deep, like, you're going down three or four of them. And it's, I mean, again, it's smooth, though, in that aspect of it. But you're doing a lot of turning the whole time. Because I got off of it and I told you. And our daughter was a little freaked out. She wasn't, like, crying, but she was just like, she said it upset her tummy.
Right.
Is what she said. But I think it's just because of, you know, she couldn't really see a lot. I remember telling you, this is going to floor you. Like, it's going to literally, because, I mean, I was just like, I don't know how you're, and you were just like, I took stuff, I'm going to ride it. And I was like, okay. Like, I was expecting you, because the last time you rode a ride even close to this was in Branson. Was the time traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I'm pretty sure this is the same ride system that one is, but it's obviously a very much different ride. But when you rode it, you were down for like an entire day.
Yeah, it took me out.
So I was expecting you to be basically done after this.
But I had done my research beforehand, and I can tell you exactly what I did just in case you are prone to motion sickness, anybody out there. So I wore my patches, and the patches I use they're called MQ. And I get them from Amazon. They're all natural. And I put one behind each ear. And for most things, they work, and they just kind of take the edge off and they don't make me feel sick. And I also took a full Dramamine, like not the non-drowsy stuff, the full one. The regular 24-hour, like full octane Dramamine. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I've got to take all the precautions I can. So even with that, even with the patches, even with the Dramamine and sitting toward the front, which after doing research, I realized that is probably the best place for me to be. There were two places where I was like, oh, if I didn't have medication, I would be throwing up right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, I mean, like, this ride, I loved it so much. But because of that, I won't be riding it every time I go to Epcot. Like, there's just no way. Like, I'm going to have to, like, just once every once in a while and just take all the medicine and everything if I really want to ride it.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. It's not only Jared was talking about the Gringotts and it, like, twists you as you move. It is still smooth, but it messes with your brain, and it's the corkscrew. Remember the corkscrew?
Yeah, the reason it messes with your brain is because it kind of is a three-dimensional, because, like, it's like you're in space.
Yeah.
So there's stars above you and below you, so it really does give you the sensation that you are sort of floating out there, is what it, and again, it's really smooth. So
yeah,
that's one reason I think for motion sickness people that probably gets them a lot is that aspect of it right there on top of all the corkscrews. But it's like very much, it's hard to get a bearing on really maybe like where, because you really can't see what's coming. And there is some, I mean, it does have some, it moves pretty quick.
Yeah,
it's got some pretty tight turns in there.
Now
I will say, this is coming from, I'm not a roller coaster person. If it goes upside down, I'm out.
You're out.
I enjoyed this. I did like it. I would like to ride it again, but I don't have to worry about our daughter. Necessarily. And, you know, just making sure she's okay. But I will say, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really cool ride.
Definitely a
welcome addition to Epcot. I would probably say it's probably easily the best ride at Epcot. I would do this, you know, I don't get motion sick issues, so I would do this again plenty of times. What did you think? I know motion sickness wise, but did you enjoy it?
Absolutely, I enjoyed it. I loved it. But again, it's one of those rides where I just kind of have to, like, if I'm willing to take the medicine and willing to, like, maybe let it affect the rest of my day, then okay. But on an average day when we're with our kids, and
yeah.
I'm probably not going to write it, unfortunately. But that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, as far as the other roller coasters, if I'm comparing them to other Disney roller coasters, I would say it's the best.
No, I agree. I'm trying to think between this one and Hagrid's. I really enjoyed this ride. It was really, really good. It may be great in terms of a coaster.
Great.
I don't know if I like this one better than Hagrid's. They're different. Hagrid's over at Universal Studios. They're very similar to me in terms of their intensity. They're both very quick.
Mm-hmm. I like Hagrid's better only because it doesn't make me sick.
Right. And Hagrid's, I think, is, you know, it's a little more unique around a bike and you have open air, which I do like that aspect mm-hmm. of it. But I would say they're kind of neck and neck to me. I think they're both great coasters. They're both really well themed in the ride area. I do have a critique, I will say, about the whole general theming of the Guardian ride, but the ride itself, it's thrilling. Mm-hmm. It's not too much unless you have motion sickness issues, but really, really unique in terms of, you know, I did like the feeling somewhat of I didn't know what to expect, and I was just like, oh, man. Like, I remember just thinking, like, it was way more intense than I thought it was going to be.
Well, someone asked me how, like, I would compare it. I forgot who asked me this, but I think it's the best roller coaster at Disney World, but not the best in Orlando.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to look at that.
I still think Velocicoaster and Hagrid's are the best. I know you haven't done Velocicoaster.
I wouldn't know Velocicoaster.
But it's, yeah. I mean, I would say Guardians is themed better. You know, the theming may be a little bit more on the, you know, the higher end, and I still love Hagrid's though because it doesn't make me sick. But yeah, so I mean, like, obviously we loved it, and we'll definitely do it again. It's just when when I'm willing.
I have a feeling I'll do it more than you, just simply because I don't get sick.
Probably, yeah.
But
yeah,
yeah. I mean, if in terms of a ride that lives up to the hype and things like that, it's like I said, it's a great ride. It is. But if you do get motion sick issues, just prepare.
Yeah.
Take whatever you can, Dramamine.
Yeah.
Now, the only critique I am going to say about this is, again, the ride itself is great. The whole building is supposed to be like Xandar. Like, it's almost going to work as almost like a visitor center for Xandar.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there should be more. Like, the building itself should be like Xandar Welcoming Center or something. Like, it should just be like a, it should have more of a, of that theming to it to me. It just seems kind of bland on the outside. And I think you could, I don't know. There's just certain things, maybe more into that aspect of it. Because really, the outside, there really isn't much. It looks...
It's pretty plain.
It looks like...
The ship is really the...
Yeah, I mean, it really does look like Universe of Energy with a ship out front.
Kind of.
It's kind of all it looks like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think on that aspect, if again, maybe a little bit of Toy Story-ish, which is like, maybe they kind of cut back on the money there. Post-COVID, perhaps, maybe there. I don't know.
It's possible. Yep.
I was reading, I think, where they read that this roller coaster is already planned for like a space Big Bang type roller coaster in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And they just put a theme, they put an overlay of Guardians, which works.
Oh, okay.
So that may be what they did there. I don't know that to be 100% sure, but that's some of the stuff I had read. So maybe that's why. Maybe they'd already had this plan. They just kind of threw that on there, but mm-hmm. that's the only complaint I have. I think they could have done a little bit more theming on the outside of it. But again, ride's great. If you can get on it, do it.
Yes.
Little ones. Well, it was funny, after I got off and you rode, I was sitting there waiting with our daughter for you to get off, or both of our kids actually, because baby Thor did not ride. And I would say, I mean, 19 out of 20 people were like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. Like, you just see people get out of there. Like, you're, because right when you get off is literally like the minute you get off the thing, you're out that door within like, I don't even know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Like, it's pretty mm-hmm. quick. And then maybe one out of every 20, some, like, usually a kid was like crying or upset.
Yeah.
So you might keep that in mind if you got kids that you're kind of on the fence about. It's a little intense.
It's a little intense.
Our daughter will. She'll probably eventually like it, because she thought Big Thunder was too intense the first time, and now she loves it. So probably eventually she'll like it.
Yeah.
But
And real quick, I want to talk about the merchandise.
Yeah, I was going to mention the merchandise before we got done.
So the opening day, it was only at Creation Shop. It has since opened at Treasures of Xandar, which is the gift shop inside the ride. So you can shop there, and I'm sure they have left some stuff over at Creations because there's a lot of it. There's a lot of merchandise.
Yeah.
So by the time we got in, and it was like 2:30, maybe 2 o'clock by the time we were actually able to get into Creation Shop because there was a line to enter the store. Most of the day of merchandise was gone. There was still a shirt that said like opening day, Cosmic Rewind. But the shirt was like really scratchy. It wasn't like really good material.
I don't like Disney shirts. They're always that like super scratchy, thick.
Well, those were specifically because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And there were some pins that were still left, but like all the magic bands were gone. All the annual pass holder shirts were gone. Like I didn't see them at all. But the merchandise is, I think it's pretty cool. Like they have a Groot bubble machine, like bubble maker, mm-hmm. which is pretty cute. They've got, you can get a Star-Lord jacket even. They've got a lot of NovaCore gear, like shirts and hats and backpacks and stuff. And
there's a lot of retro theme.
A lot
things.
Of retro theme. Very, very Epcot looking. Really. Mm-hmm. And I actually got a Guardians of the Galaxy fanny pack.
You did?
I did. It's actually a good size and it's like padded too. So I was like, okay, I like this. But yeah, they have a ton of that stuff. And obviously they've got more shirts and jackets. They have kid merchandise and yeah, I mean there's a bunch and I'm sure they'll restock and everything, but yeah. Lots of good stuff. And if you want to see more about that, I'll make highlights in Instagram on our account and you can see all of the merchandise. I took a picture of everything so you can see what was available on the day of and it may be still available now. So
yeah. And if you want a really comfortable Guardians of the Galaxy shirt, you could just get ours. Yeah.
That's right.
I will say ours is more comfortable than Disney's. But anyways.
But yeah, that's basically it as far as merchandise.
I mean, I will say to wrap it up, the way you described it as Space Mountain 2.0, I think is the best way to put that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way I was describing it to people, and they would write and be like, you're right. It's just, I was like, it's kind of the
if
best way.
If it was
to,
built in 2022,
best way to think about it.
That it would be that, yeah.
And it doesn't give you a migraine in terms
of
being rough.
Well, it doesn't hurt your back.
Yeah. Right. It is very, I will say, as much as that moves things around, it is a smooth roller coaster.
Very smooth.
It doesn't feel rough at all.
Very smooth. And last thing I'll say, if you have any loose items on the ride, please put them in the pouch in front of you or secure them because the gentleman that was sitting kind of in front of me, but diagonally in front of me, had his glasses on his shirt, like hooked onto his shirt. And like 30 seconds into the roller coaster part of the ride, they flew off, hit me in the face, and I grabbed them because I thought they were mine. For whatever reason, even though I didn't have my glasses,
mm-hmm.
grab them, and I'm holding on to them for the rest of the ride. My face is fine, by the way. And at the end of the ride, I asked, you know, the person next to me, was it yours? Was the girl in front of me? And it was the guy, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." I was like, "Oh, it's cool. I just grabbed them like midair as I'm going through the."
Jeez.
So that kind of like it kind of messed with my my head a little bit because I was trying to like. That was crazy. But anyway, so if that's you, if you have loose items, please secure them.
Well, they do have a pouch you can put it in, and they also do now have sick bags on this ride as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because the motion sickness thing is definitely, it's a very common occurrence on this.
Yep.
So that's definitely, I would say that's the biggest downside to this ride is that part of it.
Yeah.
For sure. But all right. Anything else you want to add about the ride? Or what would you give it like scale 1 to 10? As a ride goes.
Oh, gosh, like 9.
I would agree. I think it's a 9.
I really give things 10, so I'll give it a 9.
Again, in my head, Hagrid's and this ride are like neck and neck. I don't really know where. I need to ride them both again.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's right up there.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All righty. Well, that'll do it for our review of Guardians. But if you would like, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, I would have liked to have been there with you, or you want extra coverage or you want more content, then you should maybe look at joining Club 32, mm-hmm. which is our private paid group where we do a lot more content there. So we have a private Facebook group in there. We have a private podcast feed where we have not only all the content in Club 32, but we also have music loops like Magic Kingdom, Epcot, the entrance loops, all those are on there. So you can listen to those all the time. We have Cool Kids Kitchen, which is where Jamie and I will make a Disney dish once a month on a live stream. And we it's always a good time. We hang out and chat with everybody in the group and usually make something good. Sometimes it turns out terrible, but either way, it's always a good time. We have Club 32 Speakeasy, where I'll just go live once a month, usually on my back porch. Just usually have a drink and hang out and just chat about really nothing, whatever anybody wants to talk about. We also have the new Club 32 show, which is our long-form show where we basically, it's like an Ask Us Anything type of show, where we you guys submit questions or comments or whatever you want to talk about, and we answer them and talk about them. Or
yes.
It's also where we'll do like movie reviews or probably talk about Kenobi, you know, stuff like that. So we kind of put them all in there, but that's also on the podcast feed as well. And also year-round, you get 20% off of C-Team Apparel and 1901 Candle Company candles as well. And it's a great Facebook group. We do this show live in there, so we chat before we record this show with Club 32 as well. So again, if you want to go join there, you can go to cteamvip.com and you do monthly or yearly option there. And if you want to do a yearly, you get a free t-shirt. If you want to do monthly, you can do a free trial for a week, see if you like it, and do all that. So again, cteamvip.com is where you can go there. So,
yep.
All right. Well, that'll be it for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to check us out on all social media. We are at Cap the Magic on Instagram, at Capture the Magic on TikTok. We do have a Twitter. We don't do a lot there. But we are doing a lot more on YouTube. We do have video versions of the YouTubes up now. We're doing more live streaming over there. So you can check us out on our YouTube channel. Subscribe over there if you'd like to see the video version. If you want to see our faces when we're doing this show, or show clips, we do it over there. So you can check that out. And you always go to the website, ctm.show, and check it out there. So, well, thank you for everybody for listening and or watching. And thank you, Jamie, for joining us.
Thank you.
And as Jamie always likes to say,
we will see you in the parks.
Bye.